I got more, y'all. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich. Tell Rakia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt. Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money, that alone isn't going to stop this. All right? Now, dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies. There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines of. There has been no job we haven't done. There's no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now, freedom is always coming in the hereafter. But you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. And let's get a couple things straight, just a little side note. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. All right, stop with all that. If you have a critique for the resistance, for our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit. The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. Thank you.
All right, and that was Grey's Anatomy actor Jesse Williams, who was accepting the humanitarian award at the BET Award. Dr. Nandi Crosby, give me your reaction to that one.
Chills. I got chills. And I have every intention of getting it on a T-shirt and memorizing it and showing it to my students as often as I can.
Yep, absolutely. Well, since I don't know where the folks are for the next program, we have maybe 20 more minutes. Yeah, exactly. I hope they don't show up at this point. But let's go through that. When I heard that speech, I've been watching it about every hour for the last 2 days.
Wow.
I mean, I can recite most of it. It just blew me away. So many of the things. Let's kind of whip through some of the points that I just loved. He talks right in the beginning. He says, the more we learn about who we are and how we got here. And again, I took that as we reclaim our stories and create our own narrative.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, good. I'm a sociologist.
No. Oh, of course you are. Yes. No, you're right on it.
Yeah, it was such a good, it was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Another point that I just pulled out, and I want to get your reaction. He dedicates the award to all the activists and lawyers and people in the streets and all that, but he's calling out black women in particular. Mm-hmm. He honors black women, and he said, for the people that take care of everybody else.
Absolutely. Well, there are two things. One, I want to go back to the initial statement in terms of who we are and how we got here. Identity work is something that we have been doing for a very, very long time. And of course, the 1960s, 70s, the Black Power movement was all about doing that identity work. And we have called ourselves and been called by many people many different things in many different times. And so the idea that we need to do this identity work, figure out who we are and how we got here, is, I think, the work of the oppressed. According to Paulo Freire in Pedagogy of the Oppressed, that is our job. And then it becomes the job to humanize the oppressors as well. This piece about women, I've been reading online, there are some folks who acknowledge that one of the things that sets his speech apart from what a lot of the Black activists, male and female, are doing is acknowledging that piece about women. So then it doesn't just become this notion about race, but it is much more intersectional one, where we're calling out sexism as well. And to say that, you know, I'm dedicating this to women and we've taken care of everybody, that means he is calling it out for Black men.
Right.
Get your stuff together. Yep. For white America, whose babies we have nursed, for in the global world, African women. I mean, you see it even now, women walking miles and miles with vegetables and water on their heads and have remained silent as they are being being exploited and being killed and are dying for their children, for their communities. So, I mean, That's a powerful piece. I don't know how much time we have.
But it blew me away. Well, they haven't shown up yet, so we got lots of time.
I saw a couple of people peeking around the corner there.
Well, I don't know what they're doing, but if they want to take over the show, they got to come in the studio.
Okay.
So, when he called out Black women, the amazing part of that video is the camera pans or just does close ups of all of these beautiful Black women, and you can tell they're just so honored to be called out and acknowledged,
and his wife too.
Oh,
so you know there was and this is horrible, but there was a little story about a month ago that was posted online about celebrities who have ugly spouses.
Ah.
10 celebrities who have, I think Black celebrities, who have ugly spouses. And he was on the list.
Ah.
And they talked about his wife. You know, she's not glamorous looking in the typical American glamour looking ways. She wears her natural hair. She's not in the industry. I don't know if she's rich, but she is a career woman who is very conscious. And she is a mother and a wife. And they've been together since before he was a star.
Mm.
But of course, people in mainstream America want to post like, she just looks pretty average, and I was glad that they included her in the panning of his talk.
And he called her out. He said, "Thank you to my wife who changed my life." I'm telling you, I've seen that clip many times.
I didn't get that part.
I've watched it for a couple of days now. But let me just mention, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Real Issue on KZFI Radio. We're running a little long because we can, and we have such an amazing guest in the studio. I have Dr. Nandi Crosby here, and we're talking about a whole host of stuff: narratives, race, racism, changes, stories. We're talking about all kinds of great stuff. And from that clip, Jesse Williams, the next point that I wrote down is he talks about, in a lot of different ways, he talks about institutional racism. He calls it out, which is something that you know, we've had it for centuries, but it's interesting because it's new that it's being called out so courageously and so pointedly that I was really appreciative of that. And that, but on the other hand, the other thing that really gives me goosebumps is as I watch that again and again and again is to hear him do it and to see a predominantly Black audience, and it just felt to me like this is a call to action.
Sure.
We are not going to sugarcoat things anymore.
Right. I want to challenge the idea that it's a new thing to call it out so courageously. I think for those same centuries that it's been going on, that people have been calling it out. Some of those people have been on plantations, and they were being courageous in calling out capitalism and exploitation and racism for what it was. And certainly during the civil rights movement, a big critique, a huge critique of America was institutional racism. Everything from the critique about recruiting African-American men to the Vietnam War, to media representations, to language, to we need our own schools because the schools that are out there, the American K-12 system is not meeting our need. All of those things were very, very courageous critiques of institutional racism. The other thing is I saw a meme today that said there was a picture of an auditorium and one person sitting in the auditorium. And it said, when I call out racism or something, or what it looks like when I call out racism. And then underneath was Jesse Williams and this whole huge audience. And it says, when a celebrity calls out racism.
That's
what feels courageous.
Exactly. Courageous, I guess it was, and even as it came out of my mouth, I thought courageous, not quite the word I'm looking for, but it's courageous, but I don't mean like nobody's been courageous before him. That's all I meant. Absolutely, it's courageous. But it is interesting. It just seems that we are finally having this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to find it before we got onto the air, but I was reading something recently, and I can't remember who I was reading, but it said the idea that we need to have these conversations about race. We can equate it by saying, if you do something and it cuts my leg off, and you can say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and walk away, I'm still going to bleed to death. I still need time to heal. We haven't healed yet. And what this person, whoever it was saying is that what we have done is we have really, you know, through exploitation of the African American community, is to wound it very severely and then say, "Oh, we won't do that anymore. Okay, let's keep moving on." Mm-hmm. Now, come on, why don't you follow along? As opposed to saying, it's time to heal. We need to acknowledge and we need to heal.
Right.
I wish I could say that a little more eloquently.
Well, no, and I don't know if this is very similar, but Malcolm X said, "You can't drive a knife into my back 9 inches and pull it out 4 inches and call it progress." So,
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, so
But no, I do think that the celebrities calling out racism in a very public forum is relatively new and certainly courageous because they've got a lot to lose. I mean, we've all got a lot to lose. We all have our lives to lose.
Right.
But for people who, like you said, we're all here making money and that somehow we get our value from this money and from these careers, I think that many of them have been told, you can't say X and Y if you are ever going to get a job again. And so I think, you know, knowing that as a celebrity, as an actor, it might mean he won't get a job again to say those things.
And he said it in a way of branding. Oh, that blew me away, where he said, we have been branded for so many centuries, and now what we do is we pay to have a brand. Ugh.
I know.
What an amazing speech. So then Jesse Williams goes on to talk about, so much, every line was really a good one, but he went on to say that we are free. Everybody's free. And he said she, and I assume he meant Sandra Bland, she's free. She'd be alive today if she weren't so free.
She didn't act so free. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that took me back to the conversation with my neighbor and the way I responded to her with my wide-eyed smile and my acquiescence. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah.
So Jesse Williams goes on, and I want to ask you to really, really talk about this. I've been thinking about this for days, where he says, the burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. And that takes me back to your neighbor as well, where earlier I said, you know, being from the dominant culture, mm-hmm. maybe how we get over this is you just keep smiling and show that you're really a good person and you can overcome the stereotypes.
Right.
And I realized he's talking to me.
Give me the line again.
He said, the burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander.
Mm-hmm. The image that came to mind, I think it's a significant that he said bystander rather than the burden is not on, let's say, the dominant group, because the bystander is all of us.
Yes.
We're all out there with our cameras, camera phones, videotaping the fight that goes down.
Uh-huh.
Right? The image that came to mind was Eric Garner. I don't know if you saw the video when he was saying, I can't breathe. And so you had people videotaping, you had people who were shouting, the man didn't even do anything. That's messed up. What are y'all doing? And so, of course, in a court of law, now having to justify that what he was doing, whether it was just the selling of the cigarettes or being disrespectful to the officer or whatever, becomes, I guess, this huge metaphor for all of the ways that we have to justify that I didn't deserve to die. But when I don't know that this is making sense, but when the court of law then becomes a metaphor for the world stage, I think that what happens is, if you ever read the comments of these the stories once they're posted, you have things that say, well, he shouldn't have been on there selling cigarettes.
Right.
Well, he did talk back to the officer. The officer kept telling him, don't do so-and-so. Did you see how he was acting? Well, he had kids. He had all these kids. He wasn't even taking, you know, there becomes all of this ways that we have to then justify to the whole world stage that if we were just, if we didn't do this thing, that we'd still be alive. And so and I'm still teasing that one out. So the idea that if you are being choked to death, if you are pulled over and being beaten by a cop, if you are demonized in a classroom by a teacher who talks about the fact that your name has six syllables and a dash and a quotation mark and everything else, the idea that somehow the rest of us who are neither innocent nor guilty, we just happen to be here, that somehow it becomes the work of the, or it is not, he's saying, it is not my job as the person who is being victimized, humiliated, alienated, exploited. It is not my job to somehow justify that if I would have just kept my mouth closed and not stand here and not been named anything except John or Martha, that somehow I'd be alive today.
Mm.
And to me, that was not just about calling out the dominant group. That was calling out everybody.
Right.
If you were standing by and you were watching that happen, do not comment, it's not your job, your responsibility, or even your right to comment or judge or have some judgment about the brutality that's going on if you did absolutely nothing. That you are just as guilty as the brutalizer.
Right.
Now I'm mad. Oh my goodness.
Good. Well, we definitely have to wrap this up, but I cannot go without this last comment. And I've been saying it to myself all day long, and I think it sort of sums it up where Jesse Williams finishes it, this speech, his acceptance speech, by saying, just because we are magic does not mean we are not real.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Mm. I know.
Woo! Dr. Nandi Crosby, even though we did get an extra few minutes for this show, I do want to bring you back really soon. Maybe next week we'll talk.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good, too.
Good. Well, this brings us to the end of this edition of The Real Issue, which is made possible by the generous contributions of KCFI supporters and by BCAC.TV, Butte County's public access television station broadcasting on Comcast Channel 11. BCAC.TV provides locally produced arts, culture, information, and entertainment from the heart of downtown Chico, located at 500 Main Street. New to BCAC are daily broadcasts of Democracy Now, weekdays at 5 p.m. and at 11 p.m. Things are changing at Comcast Channel 11. For more information or to get involved, visit bcac.tv. We'll be back next time. And until then, peace out.
What you been writing all this time?
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Sister, talk to me, sister, so you can see.
Oh,
Welcome back to Music Mayhem. I'm Diego.
And I'm Duncan. Getting a little bit of a late start there tonight. And for those of you who aren't aware, we're actually going to be coming on every Wednesday now. We were doing every other Wednesday, switching off with Wonka Radio, but they have now retired. And it's going to be Music Mayhem every Wednesday. We're really excited. Going to bring you some more music. It's going to be a good time.
More music.
Yeah. That was Alive by Pearl Jam. And we'd like to remind you at the start of our show now, Music Mayhem is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Peter Tichenin, in association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962. Peter Tichenin and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached at 680-1900 or at chicohomes.com. What are you playing first for us, Diego?
So I'm going to play another song from one of my favorite bands, Coldplay. And this particular song is Paradise.
Great, let's hear it.
Expect.